Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Awesome. It's so good to, like I said, it's so good to see everybody. And we're just excited that God is doing some new things here. Many of you know I'm putting my timer on here. I'm not checking text messages. I know sometimes people are on their phone all the time. I'm just putting my timer on so I don't preach for 4 hours. You guys will be happy that I took a moment to do that. So many of you know that we're trying to do some construction here on the church. And so we've been stalled a little bit. And we've been praying for that because our engineer was taking some time to get the plans because we're going to be cutting a door back here and really building some rooms over on the children's ministry side to get some things looking nice. So we finally got the plans submitted to the city this week. And then I found out from our contractor that when he submitted the plans to the city, the bad news is that the city planner that deals with plans and permits is on vacation and he won't be back for a couple of weeks, and he's the only one that can sign off for that. So you know how that goes, and so we're not going to be deterred by that. We're going to continue to pray and just believe God, but that's why we're kind of a little bit stymied on that. So I just want to encourage you and have you keep praying for that, and we're believing God's going to push it through. We've been working to build a building in Jacksonville for almost 10 years, and finally this year in December, that thing is going to be finished, and we're going to see that come to pass. So we've only been at this for like a month, so that's okay. We can handle that. Amen. And so we're just so glad that you're here this morning. If you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2, and you can go ahead and go to verse 38. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of set this up. I'm going to tell you what happened between Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 38, and then we're going to get into the scripture in Acts 38. So Acts chapter 2 is an amazing chapter in the Bible, because what's happening in Acts chapter 2 is the promise that Jesus made to the disciples. He said, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait until the promise from the Father comes. And in they were in 2 is when that actually happens. And the early church began in a prayer meeting. How many of you knew that? They were in the upper room. They were together. They began to pray. And what the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit was poured out on that 120 believers that were gathered together in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came down, the power of God was manifested, and people began to pray in other tongues, all kinds of things began to happen, and the church boldness came upon the believers, and they went out into the streets, and what happened is they left the building, and I think that's an important thing to note. The church, the early church, actually in the first meeting, went from inside the building to outside of the building. I want you to notice that. They didn't just keep what God was doing to themselves, but they went out and they actually shared that with other people. And then Peter, how many of you remember Peter? We all know who Peter was, and Peter was that disciple that was always sticking his foot in his mouth. He was always saying things that were a little bit more than what he should, and many of us remember Peter as being the one that denied Jesus 3 times. How many of you remember that? And this same Peter that denied he even knew Jesus to a servant girl, then he denied he knew Jesus standing around a fire, then he denied he knew Jesus again, and then he began to weep, and he ran away, and the Bible says he wept bitterly. Well, after this encounter with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the same Peter that did those things all of a sudden had so much boldness from the Holy Spirit that he began to preach what happened to Jesus in such a way that it had a huge effect on the people that were listening to him. And he began to preach that through Jesus' death and resurrection, that everybody who called on Jesus' name could be saved. And it was such an amazing message that what the people said is, what must we do? I want you to think about that for a minute. The people in Acts chapter 2, they heard this message, and it wasn't like Peter said, okay, I'm going to tell you what happened, and then I want to tell you what to do. In the middle of him sharing what happened and what the good news of Jesus Christ, what they did is they basically interrupted the message, and they said, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And all of a sudden in Acts 2:38, this is Peter's reply to that. So I want to read to you Acts 2:38. Acts 2, 38 through 41, and I'm going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation of the Bible. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Peter's response to what must we do, he gave them four things that they needed to do. He said, first, you need to repent of your sins. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent of our sins? Many times we think repentance is asking for forgiveness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had somebody do something bad to you and they asked for your forgiveness and then they turned around and did the same thing again? Have you had that happen? Maybe all of us have had that happen, and maybe all of us have done that to somebody else. That's the difference between forgiveness and repentance. Repentance doesn't mean just to ask for forgiveness, but it means to ask for forgiveness and then turn away from that and not do that anymore. Okay? That's the big difference. And so Peter says, listen, you need to repent of your sins. If you want to know what to do with the message of the gospel, do you want to know what to do with what has happened with Jesus? What you need to do is, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his blood, you have the ability now to ask forgiveness for your sins, and God will forgive you. So let me do those things and turn from them. And the second thing he tells them to do is you've got to turn to God, right? So let me help you in seeing this. So you were living, repentance looks like is it means to ask for forgiveness. You have to understand the way you were living was wrong. You have to ask for forgiveness, and then you turn from that life and you turn to God. And that's what Peter is saying. Listen, repent of your sins, turn to God, and then be baptized. Last week we had some baptisms. And the reason we did those baptisms was because there were some people, like all of us, who had repented of their sins, and then they wanted to obey Christ by being baptized and following him, and as the first act of obedience of being baptized. So we want to be baptized, and then he says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there are four things Peter is saying to the church, and I want you to think about this. 3,000 people that day repented of their sins, they turned to God, and they were baptized. I'd love to see where they were baptized, because could you imagine how amazing that would be, seeing 3,000 people get baptized in one day? I mean, how amazing that would be. I know they do that, and I saw this in, I think it was Venezuela or a country, and they did like 6,000 baptisms at one time, I think, and it was an awesome thing. There were a bunch of people baptizing, and then all of these people received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about this for a moment, because this is the early church, and I believe what it will help us to do is, that was the early church, and now we're the modern church, correct? We have the same Holy Spirit. We repented of our sins. We turned to God. We were baptized. We received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, these 3,000 people, their worldview changed in one day. I want you to understand that, because they went from thinking Jesus was just an imposter, because that's the reason they put him on the cross, because they said, you are pretending like you're God, and for that reason, we're going to kill you and crucify him. You can imagine that in Jerusalem, some of those people were in that crowd that were chanting, crucify him, crucify him, not very long before this, right? And then all of a sudden, their worldview in one message changes, and they go from looking at Jesus as an imposter to looking at Jesus as he truly was, the Son of God and God himself. Think about this for a moment. They repented of their sins. They turned to God. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those 3,000 people were baptized that day, and they were added to the church, the Bible says. And that word church is a word in Greek. It's called the ecclesia. And what that means is, it doesn't mean they were added to a building. Many times when we think about the word church, when we look in the Bible, we think of a building, and that's not the correct word for the Greek and what this was written. It was the gathering. It was the group of believers. So we understand we're the church. This building is not the church. We're the church. This is a church building because the church meets here, right? So I want to ask you, when these 3,000 people were added to the church, what did these new believers do after they put their faith in Jesus and they were baptized? Did they keep doing the same things that they did before? Did they keep living the same way? Did they all go home and continue to live like they always had without changing any part of their lives at all except going to church on Sunday? Is that what they did? No, they had a radical change in their lifestyle. And we're getting ready to look at that in verse 42. And this is where I think sometimes the disconnect with the early church and the modern church is. The early church believed in the repentance. They believed in turning to God. They believed in baptism, and they believed in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't just stop there. Verse 42, we're getting ready to look at, and they devoted themselves to some things. They had a radical lifestyle change, and they began to live life in another way. See, a lot of times in modern Christianity, we're interested in God changing our lives, not our lifestyle. We want eternal life, but we want to keep living the same way that we've always lived. And what Jesus is saying and what we see is this, is that these early Christians, they didn't just do the four things that Peter said, then they devoted themselves to something. It was a radical change. So what I want to do is I want to pray really quickly, and I'm going to ask God to be with us this morning as we talk about this message today, devoted. What are you devoted to? So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you today for the Word of God, and I thank you that it has the power to change us from the inside out. And Father, I ask you right now that you would open our hearts, Lord, that you would open our minds to hear the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here with us today, and I pray that you would speak through me right to the hearts and the issues of every person in this room, Father. I pray that you would put your finger on things in our hearts that need to change for your glory, and Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Devoted them. I want you to read with me as I look at this, Acts 2:42, and this is what they devoted themselves to. It says, and all the believers, what believers? All the believers, not just the super believers, but all the believers. And what that means is all 3,000 of those believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So there are four things that the early church devoted themselves to, and we're going to look at why that was important and what came about as a result of that. But first, you guys know I love words, and I like to know what they mean. And so if I were to ask you, give me a definition for devote, everybody would have a different definition. So I want to give you the definition for devote. This is what devote means. It means to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or cause. Give all or a large part of one's time or resources. Are you giving your activity or cause? So let me ask you a question this morning. What person are you giving your time and resources to? Cause are you giving activities are you giving your time and resources to? What cause are you giving your time and resources to? Because the truth is, we're all devoted to something today. We're all devoted to something. Every single person in this room is absolutely devoted to something. And I want you to see this, and I want you to understand that whatever you're giving your time and your resources to, that's what you're really devoted to. You may think it's something else, but if you look at where do you spend your time and where do you spend your resources, where do you spend your gifts, that will tell you what you're really devoted to. Now, I want to tell you, do you know what Jesus is devoted to? Jesus is devoted to us. He gave his whole life. He gave himself. He gave his time and his resources for our deliverance, for our healing, and for our salvation. Think about what Jesus did for you and I. He didn't withhold anything. He gave us everything that he had. Jesus is absolutely devoted to you. He's devoted to the church. He's devoted to seeing you healed. He's devoted to seeing you delivered. He's devoted to seeing you walk free from fear, like we sang earlier today. That is his devotion to you. And I want to ask you today, what is our devotion to him? What are we devoting to him? What are we devoted to as a church? And these are some questions that I've had as I've been praying and studying and thinking about this week. How much of our time and resources as a community do we give to reaching others with the gospel? We're getting ready in August to have a backpack giveaway where we're going to give away 300 backpacks with school supplies. And the reason we're doing that is not just to be kind to kids that are underprivileged. We're doing that, but we want them to know this is not coming from us. This is because of the love of Jesus Christ, and we want to manifest his love to you. We want to show you that Jesus doesn't just love with words, but he loves with deeds, and he uses his church to do that with. Amen? And because we have a generous church, we're able to do things like that because the body of believers here understands that that's something that the church is called to do. Let me ask you this. What is your family devoted to? What is your family devoted to? What does your family spend the most time and resources together as a family towards? What do you spend the most money on as a family? What do you spend your resources on? When you get together as a family, what is it that you guys do as a family? And what are you personally devoted to? What do you spend the most time and resources on personally? See, these early believers didn't just repent, trust in Jesus, and get baptized. They devoted themselves to a new way of life. They devoted themselves to these four things, and I want to look at those four. The first one, so they gave a lot, devoted themselves to, was the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they gave a large part of their time to hear the word of God, hearing the word of God, gathered together in assemblies just like this so that they could devote time to hearing the word of God because they knew the word of God had the power to change them. They were devoted to gathering together to hear the word. They didn't skip church for something that they were more devoted to. Ouch, Pastor. I didn't mean to say that out loud. Sorry, guys. See, some people are so devoted to hearing the word of God that nothing can keep them from gathering together with unbelievers. I've seen people that would have a baby during the week, and on Sunday, the first Sunday, they're in church right away. Where they could have said, you know what, I'm going to take a couple of weeks and this and that. Some people are so devoted to hearing the word that they're not going to let anything stop them from coming to church. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people. I want to be a person. How many of you know the devil's going to give you every opportunity and every excuse possible so that you don't gather together with other believers? I mean, I guarantee you this morning stuff happened where you could have said, you know what, I'm just going to skip out today. I'm sure that there was a thought in your mind, well, maybe we just won't go today, we'll go tomorrow. We're going to have church next Sunday. We'll just skip today and we'll go next Sunday. But listen, God's got something today that he wants to bless you with. And if you'll devote yourself to gathering together with other believers to hear the word of God, God has something that he wants to deposit in you today that you may miss if you're not there. Amen? So we need to be devoted to reading the word, studying the word, memorizing the word, meditating on the word of God, because as we do that, as we devote ourselves to the word, all of a sudden our lifestyle begins to change, our mindset begins to change. And listen, I want to encourage you as a believer today, if you don't have a Bible reading plan that you follow, come and talk to me after the service and I can help you with that with an app on your phone that will help you to have minutes a day. You can get a steady diet of the word of God every day, and no matter how busy you are, no matter how busy I am, I promise you, you can make 15 minutes a day to get the word of God if you devote yourself to it. Because they devoted themselves to the word of God, their minds were renewed and they could help others. Let me ask you this morning, are you devoted? Do you spend time and resources to get the word of God inside of you and help other people understand the word? Do you spend time doing that? I'm going to tell you right now, my wife is an amazing example of this for me because she spends a lot of time memorizing scripture. She spends a lot of time getting into the word of God. There'll be several times where I'm laying in bed and I may be looking at something on the internet or something like that. And I look over and I say, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm memorizing these verses because I'm going to be meeting with my ladies soon. And they got to tell me these verses and I got to tell them these verses. And I'm just asking you, do you have a relationship like that with somebody that will help you? How many of you know when you go to the gym, if you go by yourself, you're going to make shortcuts? You said you wanted to do like, you know, five sets of eight, and you go to the gym by yourself, and that third set, you're thinking, ah, that was good enough right there. I feel a whole lot better. But if you've got somebody there with you holding you accountable and you decided before you started and you said, hey, we're doing five sets of eight, you're not going to be the one to say three was enough. You're going to look at them and say, oh, yeah, I'm good. I got two more sets. Easy. You understand what I'm saying? And so it helps you to have somebody with you, to have relationship with somebody, to have help you to devote yourself to the word. Amen? So let me go to the next one. They devoted themselves to the word, and they also devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now, I want you to notice that this isn't, they didn't devote themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. And there's a difference in that. There's a different understanding. That word in the Greek, fellowship, is koinonia. And what that means is a fellowship, sharing, and a willing contribution. In other words, when they became part of the church, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the brothers and sisters that gathered together in that area that called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was their fellowship. It was the group of people that they came together and they spent time with. And it's an amazing thing because they gave a large part of their time and resources to what? To one another. They gave a large portion of their time and resources to one another. In other words, they didn't live like they lived before. They made changes to their lifestyle. They made changes to the way they looked at the world. And all of a sudden, the people that were part of their body, the people that were a part of their koinonia, the people that were a part of their fellowship, they began to be brothers and sisters to them. And it looks like they devote themselves to one another. And what does that look like in practical ways? What it looks like is if a member had a need, they gave to meet the need of that member, and other members gave to meet their needs. How beautiful is that when that fellowship comes together and begins to take care of one another? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to God that I'm a part of a fellowship, because there are lots of times in my life that I have need and I can't do everything by myself. I don't have everything that I need, and that's the reason that we're part of a body, because what you lack, I can supply, and what I lack, you can supply, but we can't have that unless we're devoted to meeting together, unless we're devoted to one another. Does that make sense? And one of the things that we're so passionate about here, I'm telling you, while the church is still small like it is, I want to encourage you, don't be a person that just comes on Sunday and goes out as fast as you can and doesn't get to know anybody, that doesn't meet anybody, that doesn't have any friends in this assembly, because if you do that, you're shortchanging yourself on what wants to pour into you, to pour into your life, and you're not going to be able to receive things when God wants to pour it into you, because you'll be without relationship. Paul, or I didn't get this. And I know a lot of people that will say, you know, well, I didn't get a call, or I didn't get this. And a lot of times, do you know why that happens? Is because we don't make relationships with the body. Listen, if you didn't show up today, would somebody notice? Would you have a friend? Because as the church grows, there's no way the pastor can look out and see every family and every member and notice every single week who doesn't come. And that's why we need to be together. And when you have friends, they're going to notice. They're going to say, hey, where was James at? He wasn't at church today. Maybe he's not feeling well. Let me call him and see if everything's okay. Maybe they need something. Maybe I can do something for him. You understand what I'm saying? I'm so thankful to be a part of this fellowship that loves one another and is so devoted to one another. I remember right after I got saved in 1999, my wife and I had just gotten married, and I had only been a part of River of Life for like a year. And I can remember I was going through, I was between jobs. I had been working construction, and I got laid off because we didn't have any more work, and I'm looking for a job, and it was about a month or two that I couldn't find a job. And I'm going out trying to find work, and it was the first time in my life I couldn't pay my electric bill. And I was in a bad spot, and I thought, man, what am I going to do? And I had friends, and I didn't want to ask them. And I remember I only knew Pastor Chris for like a year at that time, my pastor. And I went into the church, and I told him, I said, Pastor, look, I'm in a bad spot here. I said, I'm trying my best. I'm doing all this stuff, but I can't pay my electric bill. I got a wife, and I've got a son and a daughter, and I don't know what to do. And he said, listen, we'll take care of that. He said, bring the bill in. We'll take care of that. The church paid for my electric bill. And then what happened was, Pastor knew I didn't have any money. And I'm going to tell you right now, this meant so much to me. He opened his wallet up, and he opened it up, and all he had in his wallet was $7. He's not rich. He had $7 in his wallet. And you know what he did? He took those seven $1 bills out and handed them to me. And he said, it's not good for a man to walk around without any money in his pocket. And when he gave that to me, I'm telling you, something happened in my life, and I understood what it meant to be a part of something. I understood what it meant to belong to something, and I can tell you, my wife and I have had the joy and privilege of being able to help many people that were in the same situation that we were in, because somebody showed me what that meant to be a part of the fellowship and the body of believers, and to be a part of that. And I just want to tell you, it's such a blessing to be a part of that, that you can receive that. But what's even more fun is when you are able to give that. It's an amazing thing. And I'm going to tell you, God desires that we all have that type of relationship. These early believers had real relationships together with other believers. They were spending large amounts of their time and resources together to make a difference in the lives of others. And this is something that you would notice. I read this in a commentary. Seldom see, when you would see one of the disciples, you would see a group, three or four of them. You very seldom see about one of the disciples being alone. Have you noticed that when you read in the book of Acts? They were together always. Peter and John were going to the temple. You had this group of disciples here and this group of disciples here. What does that mean? That means they were spending time together. They were devoting time together. They They were given a large part of their time and resources to worship together and to serve God together. I remember not very many years ago, my wife and I were leading a team in the neighborhoods, and we were going out in Jacksonville, and we were just going out and blessing the community in any way that we could. And I think you guys went with us sometime, didn't you, Amy? Yeah, you and Frankie. And I remember us going out, and we found this one family that they didn't even come to our church. We were just going out into this neighborhood blessing people, and this she was an older lady, and she didn't have a wheelchair ramp to her house, so they actually had to pick her up and carry her downstairs in the wheelchair. And when we found out about that, we put our money together, and guess what we were able to do? We were able to buy a wheelchair ramp for this lady who would not have had one otherwise. And the reason I share that is because when the church comes together, when the fellowship comes together, not only can we meet the needs of each other, but then we can begin to be the answer in our community to bless other people and to show the love of God in a practical way. And I'm telling you, it touched her. We had a great time. We would go in there and pray with her. She was in her hospital bed. She was a believer and went to another church. And we had some really great prayer meetings with her in that bedroom, just thanking God. And she was so excited about that. And so I just want to encourage you that this is something that we can see that they devoted themselves to. So if let me say this. These early Christians had amazing relationships, and they devoted themselves to each other. And like I said earlier, if somebody was sick, they took care of each other. They did all these things. And so let me ask you, is your family devoted to sharing time and resources to meeting with other believers? Are you guys, are you devoted to that? And if so, you're going to grow and see amazing relationships that are going to develop and bless you and bless others. And I want to ask you this, if not, why don't you start reaching out to some of the believers here and invite them to coffee or lunch? Especially as you see new people coming in. This is so funny to me. I'll talk to people sometimes, especially when I was in Jacksonville, because our church there is about 1,400 people. So it started about this size, and it's grown to that. And there'll be several times where I've been there, and I'll talk to somebody. I'll be like, hey, how long have you been coming to the church? Oh, about 3 years. And I'll be like, okay, well, who are some of the people that are your friends that you spend time with? Oh, I don't really know anybody. And I'm like, you've been coming to the church for 3 years, and you don't know anybody? You don't have a friend in the church, and you'd be amazed at how many people, even in a church this small, that don't have a relationship with anybody sitting next to them. They don't know anybody. They don't have a coffee with anybody. So I want to just give you a real quick, this is a free thing that's real easy and quick. It's real, real easy after the service is over with to walk up. I'm going to just tell you how I do this, all right? Is that okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of, this is how I do this. I see somebody and I think, man, I'd like to get to know that person. Or I see this couple and I think, man, my wife and I, we'd like to get to know them. So this is what I do. I walk over and I just say this. It's a real easy thing. I say, hey, what are you guys doing after church? I'd love to take you out and buy dinner for you. And let's see, and we'd love to get to know you guys a little bit better. You know how easy that is? And most people will say, hey, that sounds great. Let's do it. I don't know about you, but I'm not turning down free food. If somebody offers to take me out to lunch, I'm headed. I'm going with you. You understand what I'm saying? So all of us can do that. And let me encourage you this, especially when you see new people come in. Because how many of you know it's hard to break into a place where you don't feel, where you kind of feel like an outsider because it's your first time there? And so one of the greatest things that you can do as a part of the fellowship is invite other people into the fellowship and say, you know what? Hey, I saw you today, and I'd just like to say, hey, let's run out and grab a coffee. Guys, don't ask girls to do that. That's a little bit creepy. I'm not saying to go out and try to set up a date. I'm saying, you know, guys ask a guy, girl ask a girl. You understand what I'm talking about. Some of the guys are thinking, all right, I know somebody that I may ask. Now, you know what I'm talking about. So the next thing that they devoted themselves to was sharing meals together with other believers. And that may sound kind of funny. I mean, does that, like, that's not spiritual at all, sharing a meal together. I don't know about you, but this is actually my favorite one. I like this one the best, the sharing the meals together. I was discipled by an Italian-American, and I pastored in Italy for almost 6 years, so I love meals together. In Italy, that's a huge thing. And this may seem unspiritual to give a large part of one's time and resource every day, but sharing meals together, but it's actually very, very important. See, families used to eat together every day, but now not so much. How many of you remember that? When our kids were little, we always sat around the table and we had meals together. And now that we only have Miriam at home, my wife works overtime to try to keep us at the table together. And I've got to get better at that, because most of the time now that Miriam's older, we'll just be like, oh, let's just go downstairs and, you know, and sit on the couch and eat. And how many of you know what? Nobody else wants to raise their hand for that one. You guys know what I'm talking about. But there's something that happens when you sit together and you eat together. What happens around a table when people are eating? Life stories are shared. You really get to know somebody, because when you begin to eat with somebody, what you're saying is we're friends and we can trust each other, we can eat together, and all of a sudden you begin to open up and all kinds of relationships happen. I don't know if you ever feel this, but it's like you may kind of know somebody, but you don't really know them, but then once you go out and eat together one time, it's like now we're friends. Has that ever, you ever felt that way? It's like, oh, you know what I mean? Now I know you. Now we've eaten Lomo Saltado together. We know each other now. You know what I'm saying? This is really good. We get to know this. Jesus' food, and I want you to notice this. If you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you're going to find out is Jesus gave a large part of his time on earth sharing meals with the disciples. Think about how many times in the Gospels when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that it talks about when Jesus was sitting at the table with the disciples. Then he spent a lot of time having meals with sinners. And he spent a lot of time having meals with all kinds of people. It's an amazing thing. And if you really want to grow in relationship with others, invite them to a lunch or a restaurant. And listen to this. If you can cook, notice that first sentence. If you can cook, invite them to your house. If you can't, go out to a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So let me ask you this. Have you taken anybody here out to lunch or to coffee? Have you asked any couple, or if you're single, have you asked a guy and just say, hey man, won't we go grab a coffee together? I'd love to get to know you a little bit better. Or if you're a couple, asking a couple, hey man, I'd love to take you guys out and do this and let's grab. It'll take a little devotion, it'll take a little time and resources, but do you know what may just happen if you do that today? You may just begin a lifelong friendship that's going to be a blessing to you that you won't even understand how amazing it is until you do it. The last thing that they did was they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And remember that word devoted, it means they gave a large part of their time to personal prayer, and they also gave a large part of their time to corporate prayer. They met together and they prayed together over certain things. They gave time every day to prayer and they gathered to pray together. And this is why it's so important that we devote ourselves to praying together. If you've got your Bibles, really quick, turn to Matthew chapter 8. You can say amen when you find it. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three to gather together, and where two or three of my believers gather together and they ask my Father something, I'm going to be right there with them. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be praying with them. I'm going to be interceding with them. And I want to just encourage you in this. Like a lot of times I think we feel like we need to wait for the church to call for prayer, corporate prayer. And I want to just encourage you. We're going to be having 21 days of prayer and fasting for anybody that wants to be a part of that starting July the 7th. And that's going to be next Sunday, I think, is the first day that starts. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then we're going to be meeting on Wednesday nights to pray together before we have our Wednesday night service. But then you can begin to pray as well over some things. And we're going to have some prayer points to be praying for. But listen, we don't have to wait for the church to call a prayer meeting before we gather together with other believers and pray. Let me ask you this. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But when's the last time outside of church you gathered together with one other believer, two other believers to pray and lift something up, where you just said, let's get together tonight and pray. Or let's take our lunch break and pray. And the reason I want to share this is because I want to ask you, do you work near anyone in the church? If you do, you can easily have a lunch prayer time. You can easily say, hey, let's get together and let's pray for the church. Let's pray for outreach. Let's lift up this. Let's lift up that. And let's take a little bit of time once a week together and pray together. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest ways that you'll grow in relationship with people is when you pray with them. I can remember when before I became a pastor, I used to work as a construction. I worked in construction, and almost every job I had in construction, I had people that I would meet with on the site. When everybody else went to lunch, I would bring my lunch, and we would stay there and pray on the job site during lunch. And we would take that time and pray together. When I was in the Marine Corps, I used to go to my room at lunch, and many of you know Pastor Mason. Pastor Mason, because I can cook, I would cook in my barracks room, and he would come over and meet me, and we would have lunch in my barracks room, and then we would pray for an hour together. Like many times a week we would do that. I can remember Stacy, my brother-in-law, who's here on the front row, years ago, we used to have a prayer meeting at his house, and all the young adults from church would come over, and we'd have probably, you know, sometimes 15 to 20 young adults in his living room worshiping God and praying and seeking God together. And the church wasn't calling for that. We were just believers that were hungry to get together and pray and seek God and see what God could do. And so I want to encourage you, make sure that you're thinking about those kinds of things, because do you know why God was moving in such powerful ways in the book of Acts? Is because those guys weren't just devoted energy to pray and seek God, and they devoted to prayer. They were given their time, and they were given their energy to pray and seek God, and they saw Bible school. And I used to happen, I remember, you know, when I was a security guard, when my wife and I were going through Bible school, and I used to take my lunch break and go out, and I had to go to the far end of the parking lot because there was nowhere in the building that I could get where I could pray out loud, and I like to pray out loud. So I would go to the far end of the parking lot and walk back and forth in the corner, and I would pray for the salvation of my coworkers, and I would pray for each of them by name, and I would ask God to touch them, and I would ask God to open their eyes. And can I tell you what happened in 8 months? Two out of the six people on my shift gave their life to Jesus Christ while I was at work. And I'm just telling you, you have opportunities and I have opportunities, and there are times where we can gather together with other believers and we can devote ourselves to prayer. And when we begin to do that, God will begin to move and do some great things in our lives. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the hardest things to continue, because the devil will fight prayer like nothing else. How many of you have seen that to be true in your own life? I talk about this all the time, like when you say, hey, I'm getting up in the morning and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start praying every morning 15 minutes before I go to work. Go ahead and try it tomorrow and see what happens. I guarantee you tonight, all kinds of stuff will happen, and you'll have every excuse in the world not to get up in the morning to pray. And the reason that is because the devil wants to keep you away from that, because he knows if you begin to pray, you've got a promise that God said, Jesus said, I'll be with you, and if two or three of you gather together and you ask anything, my Father in heaven is going to give it to you. So the devil's going to try to stop us from praying all that he can. When you begin to pray together with others, you're going to be encouraged in your private prayer life as well. And God has given us great and precious promises, and he says that we can have them if we'll just ask. Amen? So I want to encourage you today, let's be people devoted to the Word of God. Let's be people devoted to fellowship. Let's be people devoted to sharing meals together. And let's be people devoted to gathering together and praying. Amen? Now I want to encourage you with this, and as I close this morning, as we get ready to close, I want to ask you this. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, what is he speaking to you right now? What is it that you need to do as a result of hearing this message today? Won't you just close your eyes with me right now, and let's just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now that you would move in this place, and I thank you for speaking to each of us. I thank you for showing us things, and I thank you for teaching us what it is that we should do today, Father. I want to ask you today, do you need to repent and put your faith in Jesus? Are you here today because God brought you here and you know that you need to give your life to him and you need to ask him for forgiveness? Remember, we talked in the beginning that what they baptized, and you may be here today and you may say, turn to God, and they were baptized. And you may be here today and you may say, listen, I really turned my life over before, but I've never repented and I've never turned to God. I've never really turned my life over to him. And if that's you today, we want to give you an opportunity to do that before we go any further. And so, Father, right now, we just ask you in Jesus' name that you would touch every heart and every person that's here today, and that you would speak to each and every one of us. And if that's you today and you know that you need to turn from your sin and you need to turn from God, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray this out loud. And if you need to pray this, you can just pray this with me. And any of you sitting out there that would like to pray this, you can just go ahead and pray this. Repent of my sins that are praying today. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I turn from my way of life and my way of thinking. And I turn to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, and make me a new creation. Help me to devote myself to these things that the early church devoted themselves to. And God, I give you praise for it, and I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time and you have a desire today to follow Jesus, you have a desire to walk away from the things that you've been following, then I've got something that I want to give you. So at the end of the service, if you prayed that and you say, Pastor, I'm serious about following Jesus, I'm serious about moving forward in my relationship with Him, then I've got something that I want to give you after the service. So if you did that, would you please come up and let me know? And I've got something that I want to give you. And now I just want to ask you a couple of questions here before we go. Do you need to devote more time to the Word of God? And if so, what will you do today? I want to give you some questions to think about real quick, and you can even take a moment to write something down. Do you need to devote more time to the fellowship? And if so, who can you talk to today before you leave? Who can you invite today? Who can you share with today before you leave? Do you need to devote more time to sharing meals together? And if you do, who will you invite? And when will you do it? Do you need to devote more time to praying together with others? And if you do, what will you do about it? What can you do about it today? Do you work near somebody? Are you a stay-at-home mom and you could find another stay-at-home mom and say, hey, let's meet together and let's do this? Are you a Marine or are you in the Army and are you on the same base as somebody else? Could you meet together and could you spend some time praying together? What will you do about that? And God added to the fellowship daily those who were being saved. I want to conclude with this verse, then I'm going to turn it over to Kelly. Acts 2:47 says this, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. See, when the believers come together and they repent of their sins and they turn to God, what we see is that God was adding to that fellowship every single day as He sees fit. And we believe that's exactly what God wants to do here. Amen? So why don't we go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning for His goodness. Kelly, you go ahead and come.
All right, good morning. I think it's awesome to be able to invite someone out. And me and my wife do that often too. And so I will warn you, if you invite us, we are a family of five. But we do like El Paso, just saying. So just got a few announcements this morning. So first of all, if you're giving this morning with your tithes and offering, we want to thank you. You know, if you're giving online, but if you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand and an usher will be by to give that to you. Just a few announcements about, you know, I just want to kind of reemphasize on the connecting part. One of the things that I have found anytime that I've been, and we've been in different states, you know, me and my wife through the military or transitioning, and every time we go to a church, and you're in a church, if you're just attending Sundays, you don't really feel connected if you're not really connected. And part of that is getting on a ministry team, serving. And a lot of times I find that, you know, the church is a lot, usually big churches, it's hard to find, but when you start to get connected, it becomes a little bit more smaller and tighter because you begin to know what's going on in the ministry. You get to know about other people. So I just want to encourage you with that. Though we're not talking about connect groups, we do have connect groups that are going to start in the fall. That's another opportunity to attend a Bible study and get connected, you know, get a little bit smaller, something you can't really do on a Sunday. Amen? And then thirdly, just want to say we also have Wednesday night Bible study.